Amazing, guys. Yeah, you know what? What a privilege to preach a second time in a great church like this. Hey, wow. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the leadership. And Craig and Dawn, thank you very much for being so open-handed. Hey, wow, amazing, man. Yeah, there's really, man, you guys, you've got something amazing here. Really, you've got something amazing. And God just showed me this picture. I also shared it this morning, but I want to share it to you because it's exciting, man. God, I believe God has planted a seed. He's watered that seed. That seed is birthed, and it's been growing down and strengthening itself in the ground. But I believe there's a break forth that's going to come as well. There's a growth that's going to come. There's something. God's doing something amazing, and it's about to break through, friends. I really feel it strongly. I mean, come on. God is good, and there's hopefully there's going to be some shaking this morning in some of our hearts that and God's going to do something. Great. So, guys, to start off, this ball. I love this ball. I use it a lot. It's called the living ball. It's got the gospel on it. But this ball, like anything in this world, even like you and me, has a creator. And the creator of this ball gave it an identity. It says that you will be a soccer ball. Because, I mean, yesterday and this morning I heard there's some soccer games going on. I don't know who's playing against who, but so I thought maybe a soccer ball will be a good example just to bring the love of God into the soccer players. But anyway, so the creator of this ball gave it an identity. He said that you will be called a soccer ball. And it gave it a place where it belongs. It says you belong on a soccer field. That's where you're going to be. Or in the backyard of a house where boys are going to play with you. But you have a place. And it gave it a destiny. You're going to be used for the game of soccer. And like you and me, we have an identity. We have a place where we live. And we have a calling. But I want to ask you, can this ball function in that? No, it can't. Can you see? It's actually useless. And you know what's a sad thing? This ball needs something. And the sad thing is it's living in what it needs every day. It's around him in abundance, friends. It's there for the taking. But the problem is it's not on the inside. I want to show you what happens if this ball receives the very thing that it was created for to receive. Andrew. Can you help me here, my friend? You go for it that side. Great. Go for it. There we are. Can you see there's an inner strength starting to rise up in this? This morning, God wants to fill us with something, my friends. There's something that God wants to deposit into our lives. There's a strengthening that God wants to bring inside of us. Because when we live in this world, you know, the world wants to come and it wants to throw you down. But if the world throws you down, you'll jump back. Because there's something inside of us that strengthens us. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Strength is something on the inside, and courage is the outflow of what's on the inside. God's going to deposit something inside of us this morning that's going to strengthen us so that when we're out there and the world wants to throw you down, you will jump back for the King and His kingdom. Because there's people that need you, friends. There's people that need you to be strengthened. There's people that need you to be strong. Because they need the deposit. Now I want to ask you, do you know that when you Google the word weight loss pill, that within a second you can get about 150 million results. And those results are going to tell you how great you can look and how different you can look if you just use the small pill. And many of us do buy that and we use those. The weight loss industry last year had a turnover of $33 billion, friends. That's a lot. Now, keeping that in mind this morning, I want to give you something real. I'm not going to give you something small. I want to give you something large. Something that's radically going to change your life and change the lives of people around you. And it's one word, generosity. And I'm grateful to start off your series that you're going to do on a generous life. And I want to speak to you about being generous. But before I go into that, I want to talk about why must you and I be generous. And then I'm going to talk how should we be generous. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we open up your heart, Lord. We receive what you want to deposit in our lives, Lord, so that we can be strengthened, Lord Jesus, so that we can endure in this world, Lord, for you and for others as well. Lord, we open our hearts to receive, Father. We receive your word, and we declare this morning, Father, that we will not be the same. Amen. Amen. Friends, I want to be generous. I want to understand generosity more. And where better to understand that than from Jesus? The one that's been so generous. The one that gave himself on the cross. The one that gave everything for you and me. I want to learn from that Jesus. Are you ready this morning to come on, man. Let's say, yes, Lord, my bucket. I've got a big bucket here, Lord. It's empty. Come and fill it this morning, Lord Jesus. So I want to take you to Psalm 89, verse 11. It says, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that in it, you have founded them. Everything belongs to God. God has created everything, and God has entrusted some certain things to you and me. And I want to say, Lord, teach me, what do you do, Father? How do you deal with those things, Lord, so that I can know what to do with whatever you have entrusted into my life? Lord, show me, I want to learn from you. How do you do that, Lord? And then I want to take you two scriptures further. In verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness goes before you. Friends, what do you do when you want to build a house? What's the first thing? You lay a foundation, am I right? And then everything else has been built on that foundation. Friends, God's very throne is built on the foundation called righteousness and justice. So Lord, show me, Lord, how does this work in my life, Lord? If your throne is built on righteousness and justice, Lord, how can I be built on righteousness and justice? I want to understand that. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your soul. Lord, I want to know what the good way is, Lord, because I want rest for my soul, Lord. Show me, Lord, what is the good way to walk in? And then in Genesis 18, verse 19, Abraham and his wife is trusting God for children. And a year later, God comes, and this is what he says to Abraham. For I have chosen him, Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him, all of us, to keep the way of the Lord. Lord, show me what that way is, Lord. I want to walk in that way. That he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. So that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Friends, righteousness is to come in right standing with God. To surrender myself to God. To my God, my Lord and Savior, to come in right standing with him. Justice is to this world. Isn't that amazing? Lord, I want to come in right standing with you, Lord. And I want to do justice to this world, to the people of this world. Lord, you have been generous to me. You've died on the cross. Lord, I receive the fullness of you are. Lord, show me how to be generous to this world, how to love your people, how to love the kingdom. When David conquered Goliath, it wasn't about Goliath. It was about the people. God wanted to set the people free, friends. Joseph had a dream. It wasn't for him. It was to save a nation. When the queen of Sheba came to Solomon to check out all his wealth, she said this to him, God has made you king because he loves Israel. Friends, it's about people. It's about the king and his kingdom, his people, friends. And this morning, may God come and fill something. May God come and strengthen us. May God come and deposit something in our lives of generosity. And just break something out, just something new around generosity. So I want to speak to you how to be generous. And generosity doesn't always include money. There's much more connected to generosity than just money. Because many times we say, Lord Jesus, maybe I don't have as much as that guy. But friends, you have something to be generous with. And to understand that, we're going to look at the story of the Samaritan in Luke 10. And we're going to just break open God's heart around that story in Luke 10. Can I read to you there? In Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Friends, because everything that you and I do, we want eternal value. Am I right? I want to do something that lasts. I want to do something that's relevant, that can change lives, that can impact lives, that can have eternal value. He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. See, you shall love the Lord right standing. Come in right standing to with God, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Justice to this world. Loving people and doing justice to them. Verse 29 to 33. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst robbers and stripped him and beat him and departed and leaving him half dead. Friends, all of us know someone like that. Someone that's hurt. Someone that's broken. I can see some heads. Yes, we know people that's in a tight spot. People that's crying out to God. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, the Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Friends, we can be generous with our thoughts. When you see someone broken, when you see someone struggling, going through difficult times, we can have compassion. God showed me this once. You know, we had this one day in our church a few years ago. There was a man walking into our church. He was homeless, slept on boxes. And when he walked in, I thought, Lord, what's this, Lord? And in that moment, God said to me, you can choose now. Do you want to put a 2 on his head or a 10? Because if you put a 2 on his head, you're going to speak to him like a 2. You're going to treat him like a 2, and he's going to become a 2. But choose now to put a 10 on his head. Speak to him like a 10. Treat him like a 10, and he'll become a 10. Friends, Victory gave his life to Jesus. Victory joined the church. Victory was the one that was there 30 minutes before the church started. And every time when you find Victory sitting there, he's busy reading the Bible, friends. About 2 years ago, Victory died. Today, Victory is with Jesus, sitting at the feast table, not sleeping on boxes because someone put a 10 on his head. Friends, there's people around us. Choose today to put a 10 on their heads, on your child, on your spouse, on whoever you meet, the petrol guy that's throwing in petrol. Say to yourself, Lord, I choose, Lord, to put a 10 on his head. Friends, but this is what God also told me. He said, but what are you putting on your own head? Do you see yourself as a 2? Or do you see yourself as a 10? Because if you see yourself as a 2, you will stand back. You won't step out. God says, put a 10 on your head because I've made you in my image. I have called you. I've got a destiny and a plan for your life because you are good enough. You are not what this world say you are. You are who I say you are. and you are a 10. Friends, choose today. Choose today. Some of us need to put a 10 on our heads this morning, because this world has been labeling us and been lying to us and shaping our destiny. Friends, this morning, just, you don't have to feel it, but choose it. Because if you choose it, restoration comes. Choose this morning. Say to yourself, I put a 10 on my head because I am a 10 and I'm worthy to be a 10. Verse 34, he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Friends, we need to be generous with our time. He went to him. He said the Samaritan went to him. Friends, you see, the problem is you and I live on 120%. In a world that's busy, that keeps us busy, that draws us in. And you and I don't have time. We need to budget our time, learn how to live on 80%, because God wants to send you a blessing. But we're on 120%. We don't have extra time for the King and His kingdom. We must learn how to live on 80% so that I've got 20% for the blessings that God wants to send your way. Because there's moments where God is going to interrupt you. You know, God's most miracles was while He was interrupted. Walking through the crowd, a woman touched Him and He stopped and she was healed. Friends, God wants to interrupt you. Are you living on 80% so that God can interrupt you? Many times we miss the moments because we are so busy. We don't have time. They did studies with 1,000 families, and they showed that the families communicate between 9 and 39 minutes a week with each other. Now, I'm talking about sitting and having a decent conversation. And I said, no ways, man. 9 to 39 minutes for a whole week. No, man, that's impossible. And then I saw that it's in my own life like that. Because we stand up in the morning, go to school. Come on. Stand there. And then go to school and I'm at work and I come back and everyone's in front of the TV. And then we bath and we sleep. And weekends is golf and it's church and it's sleeping in the afternoon. And I saw I'm probably in the 9 minutes. I don't have time for my family. Friends, we need to budget our time. We need to manage our time so that we have time for each other. Because you will spend your time on whatever you value. What you value, you will put time on, friends. This one man, also a businessman, his wife said to him, you need to go for a checkup. And he never wanted to go for a checkup because he said, I don't have time. I can't do this. I'm too busy. But one day he listened to his wife because he just kept on. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you've got a terminal disease. And from there on, every week for an hour, he went to the doctor because he valued his health. What you value, you will spend time on. Do you value the people around you? Do you value God's sons and daughters in this world? Do you value the broken? Do you value those that God sent to you every day that passes you? Do you value them enough that you can spend some time? Just say something encouragement. Just say something positive. Just give a smile. I traveled to Russia twice some years ago, and there's this group, missionaries. The only thing they did, they had these boards, and it said smile on. They just wanted the people to smile. That was their mission, to get people to smile. Friends, a smile goes a long way. But we don't even have time, because our minds are so busy with other things. So he bound up his wounds, friends. We can be generous with our attention. Yo, God hit me hard with this one. I've got a study there at my house and I sit there and I like reading and researching and writing stuff and just spending some time there. And one day my boy walked in there, his heart wide open because he wanted to share something with his father. And when he walked in, I said to him, my son, you know, when I sit here, don't bother me. I'm busy. Please don't. And then he walked out with a broken heart. And God said, you don't even have time for your son to give him attention. Yo, God hit me hard that day, friends, and I had to make some adjustments in my life and just to realign certain things. And we implemented a family hour. It's the best thing I could do. Yes, it was my mission, so I had to drive it. But it became a culture in our house. When we don't have small group or something, then we have a family hour. And we spend time and we talk about many things. Sometimes we play games and sometimes we fight and whatever. But it's okay. We are there. We're spending time together. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I did it. That you spoke to me through that. To give attention, friends. We can be generous with our attention. And then he took some oil and wine and put it on his wounds. Friends, you and I can be generous with our belongings. But many times we're living on 100%, 120% with our belongings. We don't have extra. Friends, we have a house to invite people. You can make a meal. You can pray for someone. Pick up the phone. Do just a courtesy call. You know how far a courtesy call goes these days. Just calling someone and saying, hey man, I'm thinking about you. May God bless you today. Is there something I can pray for you? Friends, we've got something to give. You've got an oil. You've got a wine that you can pour out over someone, man. God wants to touch something and he does it through us. God works through us, friends. God's longing to touch many of his sons and daughters, but he's waiting for you so that he can work through you. To pour some oil and pour some wine on people's wounds and encourage them and give them hope, friends. And it says, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to the end, and he took care of him, friends. We can be generous with our space, allowing people into our space, friends, taking care of them. When I went into business, I also worked for the municipality. I studied 5 years, worked 11 years for the municipality. And then there was this one guy that worked with me in the municipality, and he was a believer. And he had some space. He was living on 80%. And every week, literally for 2 years, I remember, Willie would come. And he would ask me to come to their small group on a Tuesday night. And I would say, no, man, I'm not interested. I don't do those things. You know, I'm not going. But one day, Willie kept on. And Willie asked me again to come to their small group. And I said, okay, Willie, I'm going to make you a deal today. I'm going to come to your small group, but then you don't ask me again. And Willie said, shop, that's a good deal. And you know what? God is faithful. God plans everything. And God had a plan for me for that Tuesday night, because they were working through a series. And the lesson that night was repentance and being born again. I walked into that place. I told them, if anyone does something funny, I'm going to go. I'm leaving. They said, don't worry, man. Sit down, relax. And they worked through that thing. And I didn't say anything, but God did something in my life that night. Friends, I'm telling you, didn't have guts to do something. But yes, come on, let's give God a hand. Eh? God's got a plan for each and every one of you. God has appointment, a burning bush for each one of you. And that night was my moment where I had to step out from that burning bush, leave the excuses behind, and seize what God has given me. And when I got home, I fell next to my bed and I said, I remember my words were, God, I'm going to hell, save me. That night, God changed me, friends. Isn't that amazing? Because God had an appointment for me. Because there was someone that was at a space in their lives to invite me into their house. There's someone that had space to walk with me, to journey with me, to disciple me, to help me grow. Someone had space, friends. Do you have space? Do you have space? If each 1 year reaches one, next year you're going to be double. Right? Just one. One. 365 days, friends. One person. One person. That's not difficult, friends. Just make space for one. Change them. And this church will double in a year. Can you imagine? And then you're going to have a venue problem, my friend. But you won't have, because you'll have enough people to fill it in you. Anyway, let's make space, friends. Let's make space for people in our lives. Verse 35. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you. Then he came back. Yes, friends, we also need to be generous with our finances. And I learned this lesson from my 15-year-old boy. It's amazing. When my 3 boys had their own business while they were in school, and they were doing very well. But when my youngest went to grade 6, he could join their business, get his fair share there, and he ran the business with them. And then when he was 15 years old, we've got a guy in our church, his name is Romke, he distributed food when it was COVID, it was locked down. And then Romke came to our house one day and he said to me, Murdoch, you know, I just came from this flat. There's a young lady staying there. She's 24 years old. She's been beaten. Her husband left her. She's got two children and there's nothing in that flat and it's locked down. And Dirk heard this. And Dirk said, I want to bless her. So Romke took us, went and he bought a stove and utensils and pots and stuff. He took it to that lady, prayed for her. And when we left, I saw on his face, God did something in his heart. I said, Lord Jesus, was it easy for a young 15-year-old boy to give away that amount of money? And God said, very easy. And I said, Lord, why? He said, because your son is a good steward of what I entrust to him. Because my son, when he receives money, he had five jars. He would put 10% tithing in the one, 10% giving in the other one, 15% personal savings, 15% business savings, and 50% social. The lion's share went to social, which is good. And God said to me, it was easy for him to give that amount of money away. Why? Because he budgeted for it. It wasn't his anymore. He wrote it off for the king and his kingdom. He budgeted for 10%. So it wasn't his anymore. It was easy to give. Friends, it's easy to give something away that's not yours. We don't budget for giving. That's why we struggle to give, and it's difficult to give. We need to budget. Live on 80%, friends, so that you've got enough, so that when you give, you can give with a joyful heart, because it's already written off. It's not mine anymore. Hey? It's amazing. Hey? I told them this morning as well, you know, when you go to the mall, 100 rand is so small. Hey? It's very small. But when you come to church, it's huge. That thing suddenly becomes big, that 100 rand note. Friends, if you budget, you'll give with a joyful heart. And generosity will grow in your life. We can be generous with our influence. He took the sick guy to the inn and he said to the caretaker there, look after him and when I come back, I will repay you. He had influence. They could trust him. And know that he's a man of his word. When he comes back, he will repay. We need to be generous with our influence. There was this one, you know, when I worked for the municipality, I was a health inspector. So I would inspect all the cafes and stuff. And there was this one place that had a bottle store and a shop section. And I went and I did an inspection. I walked in and I know the owner and I saw him there and I walked to him. And the owner said to me, did you just see the man walking out? I said, no, I realized someone walked out, but I didn't really put my attention to it. And he said, you know what? That guy walks in every day, 5 Ks in and 5 Ks out because the owner sends him to buy a bottle of whatever. And I said, Lord Jesus, can't be right. And I asked him, do you know where the man stays? And he said, yeah. And he showed me. And I drove out there. And when I came there, Henny sat there on a chair in the sitting room, lost his wife, his children, his job, everything. He was starting to go under. Had an alcohol problem. And I spoke to Henny and I led him to the Lord. And I said, Henny, you can't live here on your own. Come stay with us for 2 weeks. And he stayed with us. And I put him through a rehab. And he came back. And he went up and down, up and down. And at some point, we left. Went to Klaagsdorp. Friends, about 3 years ago, Henny called me. That's 15 years after I've seen him. I forgot about him. Henny said to me, Murdoch, God has restored me. Jesus changed my life. I'm married. I've got a job. He reconciled me with my children. Friends, someone made space for Henny. Someone influenced Henny. Someone put a 10 on Henny's head. Someone took time to spend on Henny and to give him what he was longing for. He was looking for it in his world, but the world was busy to take him down. But Jesus had the answer. Friends, when it comes to generosity, we need to be aware and take action. Be aware of what's going around you. Be aware of the moments that God is bringing over your path and take action, friends. Jesus was a man that took action. Then Luke 5, verse 27, 28. Jesus walking into town and there's many disciples around him. And as he walks in, many people start coming out and they want to see Jesus because they heard all these miracles and all these great things that he's done. And they want to hear him speak. And there's a lot of people around him. It's a massive buzz. And then suddenly Jesus stops. Jesus stops in all of that. And verse 27, after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Friends, the tax collector in those times were hated by everyone. They were working for the Roman government that put a tax on people, and then the tax collectors could add a tax on top of that. And that's how they made their money. They were rich people, and no one liked them. But when Jesus walked in there, Jesus stopped. And he looked at Levi, said, "Levi, I don't care what people say. I don't care how people see you. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care about your past. I care about you. Levi, I've got something for you, Levi. Something greater. Come follow me." Friends, this morning Jesus is saying, "I don't care about your past. I don't care what people say, what people think." But this morning, friends, Jesus is standing still and he's calling your name. He's calling your name. Don't you want to respond? Say, "Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, I will leave this for you, Jesus, because you've got more for me. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity, that you make space for me, Lord. That you make time for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus." This morning, if God is speaking to you, if you haven't given your life to Christ, Jesus is standing and calling you. Don't you want to put up your hand and respond this morning? Is there anyone here? Anyone that are not certain, wants to give their life to Christ? Anyone here? Friends, God is calling you this morning. Respond like Levi. Doesn't matter if the crowd, what the crowd thinks. Is there anyone here? Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, can I show you how to be generous? I want to show you how to be generous. Friends, if you want to be generous, you need to put on your lion suit. God has issued every one of us with a lion suit, friends. God has issued every one of us with a lion suit, friends. And we need to put on our lion suit. You know, when I put on my lion suit, I feel funny. I feel uncomfortable, out of my comfort zone. People can laugh at me. You know, it's uncomfortable. But you know, friends, When I put on this lion suit, my flesh steps out of the way and the Lion of Judah comes in and it changes people's lives. People's lives can be impacted. Friends, remember this picture, because God is going to challenge you, because you've got the message this morning. Somewhere God is going to send someone your way because he wants his generosity to flow through you, friends. Put on your lion suit. Doesn't matter how you look. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what the world thinks, friends. Put on your lion suit and do the right thing, because Jesus wants to touch someone through you, friends. Do the right thing. Put on your lion suit, friends. Amazing. God is really, man, God is so amazing, eh? God, friend, God laid you on my heart. Can I pray for you? Thank you, Jesus, for this man, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have deposited in him. Thank you, Lord, that there's a 10 on his head, Father. Thank you that you are calling him out, Lord, that you are shifting things, that you are shaking things in his life, Father. Thank you that you are calling him forth for something great, Father. Thank you, Lord, that he will step in. Thank you for a boldness, Lord. Thank you for a boldness that rises up in his life, Father. Thank you that he steps into the calling that you have for him, Father. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, that he will say yes, that he says yes to you, Lord Jesus. That he's saying yes to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Like your friends. Amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Craig.
That's amazing. I don't want to embarrass you, Raymond. No, his name is Raymond. I don't want to embarrass you, and I want to just use it because when you introduced yourself to me last week, you said, I said, how's it, what's your name? He said, Raymond. And I said, oh, and you said, everybody loves Raymond. And I want to tell you, amen, amen. I want to tell you, I just feel, when you said that, I felt the Lord tell me, I love Raymond. You know, it doesn't matter what other people say. It's what he says about you. The Lord loves Raymond. In fact, everyone in heaven says everyone loves Raymond because the Lord loves you. The angelic hosts love you. His Holy Spirit loves you. And I want to encourage you, that word, just step out and say, Lord, what's next for me? Amen. And Murdoch, I just want to say this. I think Dawn wanted to share something. But why don't you come up quick, babe? You're going to put the lion suit on.
No, earlier on, I noticed this bag that Murdoch had his little goodies inside, but it's obviously from donating blood. So you're a blood donor. Okay, so I've recently just become a blood donor. And a couple of times, who else is a blood donor? There we go. And as you're laying there, you suddenly say to yourself, wow, this is amazing. And there's all those catchphrases on the wall, and it says, save four lives, you know, with your blood. And you feel like you're being so generous. And there's Jesus, who gave his blood for every single one of us. And there's not one person who isn't worthy enough. Every single person is worthy of his blood, and he paid that price for them.
I want to ask you, Murdoch, stay if you don't mind. I want to pray for us, but why don't we stand together, friends? And of course, if you're online, if you're maybe just get off your bed, off the couch maybe, and as you can see, I haven't you noticed, but Murdoch, I mean, we had a time with him yesterday. Of course, Friday night was just phenomenal. 100 and something people here, 140 people here. Amazing evening. You missed it if you weren't here. Yesterday, he spoke to the businessmen. I recorded on my phone. I'm going to edit it, just fix it up, and we're going to put it on our website so you can go and listen to the recording of that. And it was just a powerful time. But Murdoch carries an anointing. And he carries, I believe, an anointing from God for business. Outside of many things, rising families, about his family, he just loves the Lord. There's many, many things that this man carries. But of all the things that he does, look at his belt buckle. Now, who wears a belt buckle like that? I had a Texan friend, Drew Land, and only he wore that belt buckle. But he was from Texas. And now, where are you from? What is it called? Marquardt. Where he's originally from. That is the Texas of South Africa, clearly. But anyway, and that belt buckle has a lion on the front of it. I saw that earlier on, and I just felt the Lord say, Murdoch carries me. Everything in Ephesians 6, it says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Everything that he's speaking today was business, okay, I'm 15%, I've got a budget. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit's anointing on us that helps us do things and causes us to do things. Amen? But we have to know that it's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that want to stop us from walking in the power of God. But that is a prophetic picture of Murdoch having the lion of the tribe of Judah always walking ahead of him. Amen. Even if he doesn't know that, he knows that today. And I want to ask him for him to pray for us. And why don't we do this? Let's lift our hands up, as I said on Friday night. Lift our hands up. Your hands are often a sign and a signal of faith. Amen. Hey, well, we lift our hands, and some guys are like, I'm not lifting my hands. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. But as for me and my household, I believe lifting our hands is a sign of faith. It's actually, Lord, I surrender to you. But it's also a receiving, an antenna of sorts. As I lift my hands, God, I pray that you would come and touch me as this man prays. Whatever he has, If you receive a prophet for a prophet's sake, you'll receive a prophet's reward. Whatever he has this morning, as he prays, you say, Father, that's me, won't you? And let the anointing of God settle on you. I see angels this morning walking around, putting bowls of fire and bowls of anointing on people. But some angels, I'm telling you now, will walk past you if your hand's not in the air. Now, please, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes so no one sees. You're like, oh, no, everyone's watching. Let's close our eyes. If that's you, raise your hand up nice and high as Murdoch prays and say, Father, come and bring your anointing. Let it be mine as well.
Yes, Lord, as we raise our hands, it's us saying yes for what you want to give us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are here being generous to us, and we want to receive your generosity this morning. Lord, come and deposit something of your heart in us. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love that you pour out on us. Thank you for a generous heart. Thank you that you fill us now with a new joy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive you now. Come and flow like living water through us now. Fill every area of our life as we receive you now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We receive you. More of you, Jesus. And less of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friends, go in the joy of the Lord. Amen.